Dan Fogelberg, some of you know that name, was a kind of folksy rock singer, very popular back in the 80s and the 90s. And he died recently in 2007 of cancer at age 57. But in his last public appearance in the year 2003, he said this. He said, "If I had only been allowed to write one song in my life, it would have been this one." Now, the song he was talking about is a song entitled "Leader of the Band." And it's a tribute to his father. And for me, it's very meaningful. And I hope it'll be meaningful for you. We're going to play part of it for you right now. Here you go, Dan Fogelberg.
Child alone and wild, a cabinet maker's son. His hands were meant for different work, and his heart was known to none. He left his home and went his lone and solitary way, and he gave to me a gift I know I never can repay. Denied a simpler fate. He tried to be a soldier once, but his music wouldn't wait. He earned his love through discipline, a thundering velvet hand. His gentle means of sculpting souls took me years to understand. The leader of the band is tired, and his eyes are growing old, but his blood runs through my instrument, and his song is in my soul. My life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band. Times when you got tough, and Papa, I don't think I said I love you near enough. The leader of the band is tired, and his eyes are growing old, but his blood runs through my instrument, and his song is in my soul. My life has been a poor attempt to imitate the man. I'm just a living legacy to the leader of the band. I am a living legacy to the leader of the band.
Now, you know, my dad was not a very good dad. My dad never went bike riding with me. My dad never went to ball games with me. My dad never came to my school events. My dad never just sat and talked with me. And maybe that's why Dan Fogelberg's song means so much to me, because in spite of all of his shortcomings, in my mind, my dad was still the leader of the band. And it hurt me to see him get tired and to see him get old. And looking back now, I really understand that I never told that man how much I loved him as often as I should have. If your dad is still living, I want to exhort you to call that man today. And I want to exhort you to go see that man today, if you can. And if not, to go make arrangements to see him soon. And if there's a wedge between you and your dad, as there is with so many people, I want to urge you to forgive him. I don't care if he ever asked for it or not. And to go to him and to make up for lost time and not to let that man get out of this world without your telling him how much you love him. You know, my dad died when I was 27. And at that time, I was too stupid, too arrogant, too proud to do what I'm telling you to do. And I regret it to this day. And so I'm here to say, I beg you, don't make the mistake that I made. You go to that dad and you make up for lost time with that dad and you humble yourself and you tell that man he's the leader of the band and how much you love him. And honestly, that's pretty much all I got to say today. So let's pray. And I want you to take a moment and pray for your dad if he's alive. And pray if he needs Christ. Pray for him to come to Christ. And if there is a wedge between you guys, pray that God would give you the power to be the man in the relationship who steps up. Or the woman, and says, Dad, we need to fix this, and is able to bring a new beginning to your relationship with your dad. And pray that God would give you the wisdom and the courage not to let that man get out of this world without knowing how much you love him. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, as I look back on my relationship with my dad, I ask you to forgive me for not being smart enough and humble enough to go to him when he was still alive and fixed the wedges that had grown up between us and really love on that man as I should have as a follower of Christ. And I want to pray that you would use my bad example to prompt many of us here not to let the same thing happen to them. Lord, our dads aren't perfect, but they are still the leader of the band, and they still gave us a gift we can never repay, the gift of life. So help us have pity on many of them and compassion on many of them who were raised perhaps with that same curse given to them that they gave to us, not knowing any better. And help us to go to them and make up for lost time. If we do this, then we've had the greatest Father's Day in our lives. So help us, Lord. For many of us, it'll be hard. But help us anyway. And may there be sweet reconciliation between many of us and our dads. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, I can't see the time back there. What time is it? Yeah, I got a little more if y'all want it, or we can just call it quits. I mean, honestly, we can go home. You want a little more? All right. Well, let me get my water. Hold on. And this won't have much of an outline to it, but anyway, some of the other things I was going to say to us today are these. You, as a follower of Jesus, can reverse the curse, my friends. When I came to Christ at age 22, I knew what a bad home situation I'd come from. I knew what a poor job my dad had done raising me. And I swore before Christ that if I ever had children, I was not going to curse my children with the same curse that my parents had done to me. Because I knew I was a mess. And I knew in order to do that, one of the things I needed was a woman, a spectacular woman, who knew how to make Christian family work, because I didn't. And God was so gracious to give me Brenda. We'll be married 40 years this month. And yeah, thank you. Believe me, you're clapping more for Brenda's patience than you are for me. And but it was wonderful to have a partner who knew how to make this work and then to listen to her. But you can reverse the curse, my friends, with the power of Jesus in your life. And I decided that I was going to put into place, instead of a curse, I was going to put into place a blessing in the Solomon family, where years from now, generations from now, people would look back and say, wow, it's been a blessing spiritually to be in this family. And it all started way back there with that lawn guy that we never met. He's the one who started the chain of blessing that we're enjoying now, even though he inherited a chain of curse. Folks, that's the power of Christ in our lives. And we can do that as men if we really want to. It's not easy, but it can be done. And I've got a bunch of Father's Day messages online. If you want to know how to reverse the curse, just go on there and listen to them. I've told you everything about fathering I know in those messages. And so go on there and listen to them. It's not complicated, but it takes everything you got. You can't do this with half of your heart. You got to do it with everything you got. And every morning you got to wake up and say, today I am reversing the curse that was given to me. That is my goal today with my family. And if you do, God will honor that. Now, in that regard, I've got three quick suggestions about some things we can do to keep a wedge from developing between us and our children. And so I'm going to give them to you real quick and then I'm done. Number one is be an approachable dad. Be a dad that your children can come to and talk to, and that you're interested and you're willing to listen. When we have a sign hung around our neck that says, basically, we don't want to hear what you have to say, we're not interested in what you think, but we don't want to know your opinion, and we wear that sign with our children, not only when they're young, but even when they're grown. Friends, we're going to drive a wedge between us and our children. It's just that simple. And so if your child ever comes to you and says, hey, Dad, I want to talk to you about something. Man, put that paper down, put that TV on mute, turn off the lawnmower. Man, I'm telling you, some of the most important moments in your whole life are about to happen. Don't miss them. Be there and have a sign around your neck that says, come talk to me. I'd love to hear what you have to say. The second thing I'd like to give you very quickly is that we need to be humble dads. Sooner or later, if you are approachable, your child is going to come to you and tell you that you've done something wrong. That you are doing something wrong. That you've done something they didn't like. That you've done something to hurt them. That you've done something to wound them. And how we respond at that moment is critical to our relationship with our children. Critical. If we start attacking back, if we just blow them off like, you know, they don't know what they're talking about, man, I'm telling you, you're driving a wedge between you and your children. We need to be willing to listen and own our stuff. And if we really did do something to harm them, we need to have the humility to ask for forgiveness, and to try to do better. My son John, when he graduated from college, my youngest son came to me and said, hey, Dad, could I talk to you about something? And I said, sure. And he said, you know, I just want you to know that I feel like ever since I was born, you tried to control my life, and you're still trying to control my life today. I said, oh, okay. And I said, well, let me think about that for a second. And, give me 24 hours to think about it. And I walked away going, controlling? I'm not controlling. What are you talking about? This kid's crazy. And that's really what I thought. And then I went upstairs and Brenda said, what did John want to talk to you about? And I said, well, he wanted to tell me that he thought I was controlling and that I was trying to control his life. And she said, Lon, he's wrong. You're not trying to control his life. You're trying to control everybody's life. I said, really? I said, are you sure? She said, I'll start calling people one at a time and having them tell you that this is true. So I had to go back to John. And I had to say, John, you know what? I really can see. I didn't mean it. I wasn't trying to harm you. I love you with all of my heart, but I really understand what you're saying, and I'm going to really try to do better, okay? I really am. Now, that was 6 years ago, and John and I get along amazing today. It was a little bumpy there for a while because I kept trying to control his life unconsciously, and he would say, Dad, and I'd go, what? You're trying to control my life again. No, I'm not. I'm just giving you advice. But we get along good now. I don't give him any advice anymore unless he asks for it. But you know, if I had reacted and just stiffened up and gotten defensive, I'd have driven wedge between him and me that I don't know how we'd have ever gotten out of there. Friends, listen, none of us are perfect parents, huh? I'm not talking about legitimate times where you have to be a disciplinarian. We don't apologize for that. No, that's part of our job. But I'm talking about times where we still do things that hurt our kids. We miss an appointment. We lie about something. We don't make a school event that we said we were going to be there for. We act like a hypocrite in front of them and they call us on it. I mean, there's so many little things that we can do wrong. Friends, if they confront you on it, I mean, apologize without them confronting him if you realize it, but if they call you on it, be a humble enough guy to own your stuff, huh? And just say, you're right. I need to ask you to forgive me. Finally, I would strongly recommend being an involved dad. I mean, involved in the real things they care about in life. Go to their ball games. Go to their recitals. When it's back to school night, don't send your wife to back to school night. You go to back to school night. I went to back to school night for years and came home so depressed after back to school night because all the teachers who would tell me about the behavior of my children. And I mean, I would come home, but you know, it's better than having your wife depressed. You go get depressed at school. And your child will interpret that you love them, that you took the time to go to back to school night. Take them fishing. Take them bike riding. Talk to them about their dreams and their hopes and their fears in life. You say, my children don't want to talk to me about that. Oh, yes, they do. They're dying to talk to you about that stuff. It's just we aren't listening. I was dying to tell my dad how much I loved baseball and how scared I was to go to junior high school every day and how petrified I was to go off to college. And the problem is he wasn't listening. He didn't care. When I tried to tell him, he wasn't listening. And so I just took this to mean he didn't really care all that much about me. And there was a huge wedge that developed in our life. Guys, take the time to be involved in your children's life. You can be president of the company later. You know, you can be the ambassador to diddly squat later. Who cares about that stuff? What's going to happen if we're not careful is we're going to get to the point in our life where our children are grown and we are the ambassador to diddly squat. And we're going to say, what was I thinking? I could have gotten here later, or if I never gotten here, you know, it wouldn't have mattered. What did I do? That time with my kids is gone. Don't do that. Because kids interpret involvement as love. It's just that simple. We were just out in California with my, and with this I'm done. Well, I had a Jews for Jesus board meeting, and my son lives there with my granddaughter, Ava. And Ava is 2 years old. And so we were staying at a hotel for a couple of nights. And then when I left, Brenda stayed out there and moved into their house for a couple more days extra. I came back Friday so I could talk to you guys today. And so while we were there at Friday, Ava turned to Brenda, who they call Mimi. And she said, Mimi, she said, you can stay here at my house forever. And so I said, hey, Ava, can Papa stay at your house forever? And she said, no. And I said, why not? She said, boys are not allowed in my room. I said, okay, because Brenda's sleeping in the room with her. So I said, okay, well, can Papa stay here forever if he sleeps out on the couch? And she said, no, only Mimi. Now, that hurt my feelings. And as we were going back to the hotel, I said to Brenda, can you believe she said that to me? You know, why, how come she wants you to stay and she don't want me to stay? And Brenda said, Lon, it's real simple. When we get together, who sits on the floor with her and plays blocks? Who sits on the floor with her and colors? Who sits on the floor with her and plays with jewelry? Who sits on the floor with her and paints her toenails? Who does that? Me, not you. Well, she's right. I'm not so good at all at doing all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's boring. I mean, it is. You just sit there. But it is boring. Come on. But if that were my daughter, I would do it. She's my granddaughter, so Justin can do it. But if she were my daughter, I would do that. Boring or not boring, it doesn't matter. I would do it. And gentlemen, let me say, the women already understand this. I don't need to tell them this. It's that kind of involvement in those little things that your children interpret as my daddy loves me. And so take the time to do that. See that as more valuable than being president of your company. It really is, you know, because when you grow up, sooner or later, you're not going to be president. They're going to force you out and then give you, maybe if you're lucky, a watch. Maybe not. Yeah, you know. And then, you know, there's nothing deader than yesterday's executive. You know, you're gone. You're out of sight, out of mind. You're dead and gone. But your children and their lives are going on. Let's pick the most important things to do, shall we? And not major on the minors here. Well, anyway, that's the rest of what I was going to say to you. Summed up as fast as I know how. We're still early. Praise the Lord. But let me just say in closing, remember what we said. We talked about being an approachable dad, a humble dad, an involved dad. But most important of all today, what I want to say to you is, if that dad of yours is living, let me repeat what I said. Go to him and make up for that lost time and tell him that you love him and keep loving on that man. He's not perfect. He didn't do a perfect job raising you. He's just a human being. Can we cut the man some slack? Can we show some just human compassion for the guy and give him a break? And I'll tell you, once you're a parent, if you're not already, you're going to appreciate that this is a whole lot different than it looks from the outside. And that your dad deserves a lot more of your understanding than perhaps you've been willing to give him. Let's pray together. So, Lord, take what we've talked about today and make it powerful in our lives. And Lord, bring us to the place of reconciliation with our dads so that every one of us will be able to weep when you take him because we miss him so badly, because we made up for lost time. Humble us, Lord. Give us compassion and understanding. and allow us to be an instrument of healing in our relationship with our fathers. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And what did everybody say?
Amen. Amen.